genom Svea rikes gränser. Hörs ett kall från ovan jord. Följer kristendomens regler. Offensivens man, soldat i Jesu namn. För fränder, fosterland och konung. Genom elden skall han gå. Opåverkad inför ödet. Möter döden för sin religiösa tro. In i striden genom ett gulregn Herrens vilja ske. In i striden går han på led tills han vittnar att ser kanoniren marschera fram. Att smöda Guds namn möta döden. Offensivens man, soldat i Jesu namn. In i striden genom gullen Herrens vilja ske. In i striden går han på led tills han vittnar Guds seger. Karolinen marschera fram. Lass ich liebe Guds Hand.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this live radio broadcast. Today is the 30th day of March, year 2016, and we've entitled today's program, Accountability. Probably haven't heard that much lately, have you? Before we begin, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai. To my Swedish brothers and sisters across the ocean as well. We dedicated that song at the beginning of the program in case you did not recognize the language. It was Swedish, which is very close to Danish, German, and Afrikaans. They come from the same root. And by the way, so does the English language. I know. As you were listening to it, you were probably saying, good grief, what planet is that from? But if you were to hear somebody speaking in the language of England 300, 400, 500 years ago, what was known as Old English, you would find that it sounded very close to the words in that song. Not what you hear today. So to my Swedish kinsmen, I dedicated that song. I'm going to read to you a little bit from the lyrics, because though you may not have understood it, the sound of Swedish, German, and the related languages does something to me, since I'm half German, very similar to when I hear the bagpipes and the drummers playing. And I played it in honor of our kinsmen in Sweden, because they are being inundated with these immigrants, and violence is rampant in their land. They've been sold out by their leadership, and I'm praying that the Swedish people will hear songs such as this, and it will rise up a nationalistic fervor within them, as it should, all of us, because every white nation is under attack thanks to the works of Satan's kids, otherwise known as Jews. Now, before we get into accountability, I've got a few things I want to read here, and then we're going to talk about that. If you want to go to our website, it is byyahwehsdesign.com, and that's all together. There's no spaces or dashes or anything like that, just byyahwehsdesign.com. If you have comments or constructive criticism, we welcome that. You can email those to bydpastordan@yahoo.com. One of my favorite quotes, and we're going to hear this one quite often, Thomas Jefferson, when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. Are you hearing what I'm saying, kinsmen across the ocean, and my kinsmen here in America? In fact, all over North America. Again, that song was sung by a group out of Sweden known as Sabaton, S-A-B-A-T-O-N. I don't know if that's how they pronounce it or not. And let me just read some of the words. So though you were not able to make this out, this is what the lyrics of that song are saying, as best we can translate. Far away from Sweden's borders, we hear a call from the heavens. Follow Christendom's laws. A man of attack, serve in the name of Christ. For brothers, fatherland, and king, he shall march through hellish flames, unaffected by destiny, facing death for their religious faith. Into battle through hail of bullets, Lord, thy will be done. Into battle, walk in the lines. See the whites in their eyes, Carolinians are marching on. Put their lives in God's hand, for their kingdom and fatherland. See the white in their eyes, Carolians are marching on. Morale and religion unites them, courageous brotherhood remains. All heretics shall now face death, a man of attack, serve in the name of Christ. Into battle through hail of bullets, Lord, thy will be done. Into battle, walk in the lines. See the whites in their eyes, Carolians are marching on. Put their lives in God's hands for their kingdom and fatherland. See the white in their eyes, Carolians are marching on. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As it is in heaven, so it is on earth. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. Forward, walk as one, entire armies marching in lines. Fear they forget, the Lord cast judgment, ready to give their lives. When the king and his men their enemies see with their banners held high, fear they forget, the Lord cast judgment. Hear how they praise their Lord. Into battle, through hail of bullets, Lord, thy will be done. Into battle, walk in lines. And then the refrain, of course, repeats after that. But again, encouragement to our kinsmen in Sweden, but also our kinsmen in virtually every white nation of Europe is under a heavy assault. But they've been sold out by the traitors within their so-called governments as well. And that's all because of our ancestors, fellow white men who were part of our governments at one time or another, sold out to the Jew. And a lot of people say, Dan, how come you blame them for everything? Well, we don't blame them for everything, but they do what they do because it's their DNA. It's exactly what Christ said. Ye are of your father, the devil. You do the works of your father. Oh, well, yeah, they do. But our ancestors sold us out. And that's the reason for the program's title tonight, Accountability. What does that mean? And how did we lose it? How did we get to a point where we allowed our public servants to no longer be responsible or accountable for their actions? Earlier today on Flashpoint with Laura Ferrez Wilson, she interviewed Ken Hovind, who was imprisoned for approximately 9 years, all trumped up charges. And he gave a testimony today on her program during the first hour. I was stupefied at the despicable things that were done to this man. And I know firsthand, I've been through the court system, not for myself, but in aid of people I know. I've seen what happens myself. So I know what he was reporting on that program to be true. And then Laura asked me to be her guest for the second hour. And at the beginning of the program, she recounted how she was drugged through the courts in a custody battle and ended up spending approximately 13 months in jail over a custody battle. Unfortunately for her, the people she was against in the court were powerful, connected people. And it just goes to show you that justice is not the goal in the court system today. Why? Because nobody's being held accountable or responsible any longer. Who does it fall upon to maintain eternal vigilance over our public servants? Who does that fall upon? Yeah, you and me, people. Our ancestors dropped the ball. Now it's in our court. The word accountable right out of the dictionary. The state of being accountable. Liability. To be called on to render an account. Accountableness, responsible for, answerable for. In the military, It further says the obligation imposed by law or lawful order or regulation on an officer or other person for keeping accurate record of property, documents, or funds. The person having this obligation may or may not have actual possession of the property, documents, or funds. Accountability is concerned primarily with records, while responsibility is concerned primarily with custody, care, safe keeping. Accountability and responsibility, as far as us in the civilian world, they are almost synonymous terms. Under the word responsible, you find these definitions: having the job or duty of dealing with or taking care of something or someone. In other words, when you're taken into custody, they are responsible for your well-being. How many people have been hurt, raped, beaten up, or even killed in the jails of this country? What happened to responsibility? What happened to the word custody? And why is nobody paying the price? If somebody's life is lost in these institutions, then a bureaucrat, a prison guard, a warden, or somebody had better have their ass on trial and held responsible. Another definition under responsible: able to be trusted to do what is right or to do the things that are expected or required. Oh my God. An epiphany. Nobody in this country, in government, is capable of being described with either of these two words. Nobody running for the office of president can hold up to these two words. And I dare say most state governments are full of people that these words no longer apply to. Men and women in uniform, these words no longer apply to. And we wonder why this country looks the way it does. We wonder why our brothers and sisters across the ocean live in the lands that they do with the things that are happening. Because the people who have risen to the top are despots, traitors, interlopers. They have no authority whatsoever. And yet, the brainwashing has worked, and the white man still cowers and licks the boots of his enemies, those who work day and night to destroy their nations and their race. Unbelievable where we have come to. And the mainstream churches, you are responsible in part. You and your damnable canned sermons teaching the doctrines of devils. May you be cursed for your betrayal of the Christ and his children. Number three in the definition of responsible: involving important duties, decisions, etc., that you are trusted to do. Trusted. You know, being a public servant, you were required to take an oath of office because it is a position of trust. Because along with that comes great responsibility and power. That is why in the old days, they tarred and feathered politicians and bureaucrats when they were found to have violated the public's trust. When's the last time you heard of one of these damnable politicians being tarred and feathered? Let's go back in history just a little bit. I remember reading about the colonies before we became a country over here, and what the colonists used to do when they found a lying magistrate or a judge who had been bribed or bought off or gave incorrect judgment in favor of a friend or somebody who bribed him, etc. And one of the punishments, just one, was tarring and feathering. And when I read that, I thought it was more like pouring oil on them and covering them in feathers as a way to embarrass them. But many years later, I was reading another book, and it was written by a Christian fellow, and he was talking about the punishments in colonial America. Tarring and feathering was not to produce embarrassment. It was to execute the criminal. In this case, a criminal who was a public servant. And then I realized that it was a capital offense, and the tar that they used was hot tar. Boiling hot tar that they poured over the naked body of the errant official. And then while it was still liquefied, pouring a basket full of feathers on the culprit. It was not to embarrass, it was to execute. They weren't meant to live, though a few did, but to their chagrin, because they would have preferred to have died. If you can imagine the wounds that boiling hot oil poured over your body would create, the pain and the disfigurement. Now, a lot of people say, well, my gosh, that sounds so unchristlike. That sounds so cruel. Are you sure that was here in America? Well, you see, America's become a bunch of pansies. If the war for independence were fought today, I'm not so sure we would win, because the men and women of the colonies, that spirit, that drive, that passion, that detesting of corruption, I'm not so sure it still exists anywhere. See, today we like to sit back and think, well, let somebody else do it. Or they're the government. We can't do anything. Or he's a preacher. Oh, we must forgive because Christ forgave everything. Really? Okay, so he forgave the money changers in the temple? Oh, no, wait a minute. That's right. In the book it says he formed a whip and he beat them. Can you imagine how much effort it took to beat Jews out of a temple where they were making money? Can you just imagine? One man with a whip? Against all them and their piles of money selling off objects to the stupid goyim walking in there and paying for sacrifices to be made. And Christ calling them defilers of Yahweh's temple. Can you imagine? And yet Christ had fire in his eyes. And I imagine the veins on his muscular arms were popping out as he formed that whip and he beat those bastards right out of that temple. There was no pity there. There was no wimpish cowering to the money changers like we do today. Righteous indignation burned within his bosom and he beat those bastards right out of the temple. And today, what do? We sit around and go, well, my preacher says that they're God's chosen people, you know. And, oh, well, yeah, I don't really agree with what they're doing, but after all, they're God's chosen. Are you kidding me? Obadiah tells you what they're chosen for, sucker. Specifically at verse 18. That's the only thing a Jew is chosen for. In the word of Yahweh. Every other verse referring to these Esau Edomite sons of Satan refer to them as devils, serpents, liars, deceivers, murderers, rapists. Just like their book, the Talmud, says it's okay for them to do as long as it's not to a Jew but to one of us. It's pathetic. The white race is going out with a whimper instead of the roar of a lion. Those are words from a song by Rahoa. And Rahoa stands for Racial Holy War. Because it is a racial holy war. Satan's kids versus Yahweh's kids. Right out of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Right out of the Dead Sea Scrolls describing the great and final conflict between the children of light, Yahweh, and the children of darkness, Lucifer, Diablos, the adversary. We've lost the accountability of the people who are supposed to serve us. This nation known as the United States of America is a white nation. It was founded by white men for themselves and their posterity. And for you simpletons that came through the public school system, you're going to have to dig out your dictionary, because I don't think any of those games you play on your iPhones and iPads and computers talk too much about posterity. And for God's sakes, I'm sure your teachers don't talk about it, because you're too simple to probably figure out what it means. So grab your dictionaries and go look up the word posterity, because it's in the founding documents of this nation. And you simpletons are buying the garbage being poured into your heads in the public school system by our masters, the Jews, because they want to steal it from you. And you're going along with it. You better take some time out of all that game playing and all that horse manure that you people are involved in, and you better start putting those brains into action. You better start exercising them, because you haven't been using them much anymore. And it's not just the young I'm talking to. I'm talking to you guys in the middle age all the way up to my age. I know. I've been out there. I've partied with you. I've played softball with you. I played football with you. I was in the military with you. I've ridden motorcycles with you. I know. This isn't to condemn. This is to energize you to repent. The word repent in the original language of the scriptures meant to change the way you think. Can you relate? It doesn't mean to go into a prayer closet and ask for forgiveness from a priest. It doesn't mean to take a whip and beat yourself. Or to go around feeling guilty all day long because you had a lewd thought or you looked at a naked picture in a magazine, like the church world wants to make people feel guilty about such things. Garbage. Do you think Father Yahweh cares about that? While the world he creates is polluted like it is, and the people he said are my peculiar people run around like the white race does today, you think he cares about such nonsense as that? Stop listening to these prostitutes in these churches. They are whores. They are despicable whores. And the only reason they should get a double judgment upon them is, first of all, because Scripture says that's what's going to happen to them. But secondly, because they are in a position of trust as well. In fact, I would say the clergy is put into a position of double the trust. Because you're not only trusting them with the money, etc., and the upkeep of the building and all of that, but you're trusting that they're telling you the truth about our Father. And instead, they're leading the sheep off to the slaughter by these damnable creatures from hell called Jews. Those aren't my words, by the way. So if you're going to get all bent out of shape of what I'm saying, you better pull a Bible off the shelf, dust it off, because I know you haven't looked at it lately, blow the dust off of it and read it, and you'll find out those are the words of Christ. Yeah, the guy that the Jews murdered and brag about it today. In fact, that comedian, that Jewish whore, brags about the fact that she would like to do it all over again. She hopes he does return so the Jews can come together and murder him a second time. I got news for you, bitch. You ain't going to murder him a second time. First of all, Yahshua isn't coming back to allow you or anybody else to abuse him. And I don't think his people are going to be as stupid as to be led by a Jewish mob to execute the Christ a second time. We know what you have been doing. Yeah, the motto above your Mossad, by deception thou shalt make war, you little pusillanimous cowards, we know what that means. Yeah, you've been deceiving, all right, but we are waking up, and we're waking up by the thousands and thousands. You've gotten away with what you've done so far because you do it in the dark. You bought and controlled the media so the media wouldn't tell us, yep, another group of bastards that haven't been doing their job, not being accountable, not being responsible. Instead, taking their blood money and putting it in their accounts to keep their damn mouth shut when they should have been screaming from the rooftops. Then you bought off our politicians, another group of quislings and cowards. And unfortunately, you've even been able to buy off some of our military. I bet that's making General Douglas MacArthur and General George S. Patton roll around in their graves, right along with General George Washington and Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee and a host of other men of character and integrity, duty and honor, something a lot of people in uniform today don't know a damn thing about. You'd better find out what duty and honor mean. You don't work for those bastard Jews. I don't care what office they hold. I don't care how big their damn bank account is. You don't work for them. You work for us. And ultimately, you work for the Father. Or at least you had better. Accountability and responsibility. It starts with the person you see in the mirror every morning when you get up. Are you responsible and accountable to the Father and to yourself and to your family and to your spouse and to your neighbor? Are you? Or are you part of that other crowd? The people that take the blood money. The people that take the bribe. The people that cower in fear. You know the words in the scripture that says you should fear the one who can kill you at the second death. Years ago, I kind of wondered about that. Now it makes perfect sense at all. You can't escape the first death. As Laura Ferrez Wilson says in her program, hey folks, ain't none of us getting out of this alive. First death is a done deal, sealed by the words of our Creator. It's the second death that you're supposed to be worried about. Going to the grave is part of living. Get used to it. It's going to happen whether you do or not. So get used to it and stop letting it control you. You are going to go to the grave. But your spirit will live on. And you will stand in judgment. You had better worry about that. The Father said he was going to come to this planet. He said he was leaving, but he would return. There's a lot of folks in my circle of friends and contacts that believe that's not very far away. Certainly the signs of the times are pointing to it, aren't they? And every scripture that refers to our Father coming back to see us, our Savior, according to Isaiah 33 and 22, says he's coming back as a warrior. And he's coming at the head of an angelic host. But he also has a remnant of sons and daughters who love him. Honesty, integrity, duty, and honor above the things of this world. Are you Cretans even aware of the fact that what lies beyond the firmament of this enclosed earth is beyond your even imagination? And yet you grovel for the piddly little things, the crumbs from your Jewish master's table, like dogs. No wonder they find us contemptible. No wonder they find us like cattle and treat us like cattle as they laugh in their synagogues at how stupid and weak we are. Of course, these same bastards that are doing this in their synagogues sort of overlook the fact through their machinations, their dishonesty and deception and theft, they have enormous wealth and risen to great heights of power in our financial area, in the court system, in the military, and in the government, and most certainly in the media, the mainstream media. You kind of have that going for you. And if you do, it's kind of easy to pull one over on everybody else, isn't it? And especially as the white race becomes apostate and departs from their first love, who should have been our father, the creator. We should never have left him. Scripture talks about his forlorn look and his sadness at the state of our people, paying lip service to the master while groveling at the feet of the very people Christ condemned and said that they were condemned already. They could not be saved. He even spoke in parables. Why? Because he did not want them to understand the teachings being given to his children in case they might repent. Can you imagine that, a Jew repenting for his actions? That's tough. That's really hard to even try to imagine. But Christ said that's why I speak in parables. For two reasons. Not only the Jew might be listening in, but the proselytes of our own race, the traitors who think it's cool to be Jewish, who think it's cool to be a socialist, a communist, do the bidding of these quislings and cowards who make war by deception because they're not man enough to take the weapons in their own hands and get dirty out on the battlefield. They'd rather your sons and daughters do it. It's time for accountability and responsibility of we, his sons and daughters, we, the true inheritors of this nation, we, the people, meaning the white men who love Father Yahweh. We are the people the founders were talking about, and we are the people you will not see in the halls of Congress. You will not see in Washington, D.C. You will not see in the Pentagon. You will not see in the White House, because the ones you do see have sold their souls to Satan's kids. So though they may look like us, they are, again, wolves in sheep's clothing. Some Jews look very white. They are not. And the members of our own race who do the bidding of the Jew are just as much a wolf in sheep's clothing as the Jew is. That's why Father said, judge them by their fruits. Judge them by their actions. What's that old saying when I was a kid in school? Oh, that's right. Actions speak louder than words. Words are cheap. That's like these pontificating candidates to try to get into the White House as if they're going to be the saviors. I got news for you. Ain't none of them going to save us. If we, the white race, the true inheritors of this nation, the true inheritors of the biblical promises of our Father, if we aren't going to rise up and be the men and women that he meant us to be, we don't deserve anything better. And we sure as hell don't need to bow down to a mortal man or woman claiming to be our Savior. This is our country, founded by our family, and interlopers have succeeded in convincing you that it's okay that foreigners be injected into our processes and our governance. For instance, in South Carolina, they got a damn Indian as governor. How the hell did that happen? Same thing happened in Louisiana. How does that happen? How are all these Jews getting all these positions in corporate America and in government? How did they get in there when it's our country? When the Bible specifically says an alien, meaning racial alien, is not to have political power within your nation. Nation comes from the same root words and antiquity that mean race, the same way that the word nativity and natal, nations, do you get it? All have to do with birth, kind after kind, race. Nation means unified race. Same culture, same language, same faith, same race. If you don't have those things in common, hey, buddy, you ain't a nation. You may be a geopolitical country with a hodgepodge of races in it like America, but you have ceased to be a nation because you don't have the things in common that make you a nation. That's exactly why our enemies, these imposters, these Revelation 2:9 Jews, posing as God's children, have come in to destroy this nation. Because everything they have done, everything that has divided us, was the work of a Jew. Just like Ted Nugent recently found out that, who are all these bastards trying to take my guns away from me? Oh, wow, isn't that a coincidence? The name of every one of these son of a guns is Jewish. Well, what did they do to the poor people of Russia? What did they try to do to the people of Germany, but the Germans stood up? And they would have succeeded in beating those bastards right into the dirt, except that the Americans, brain dead as ever, as soon as you put a bomb or two off in their country and they start waving their flags, they just lose all sensibility. So they ran off as the Jewish masters were printing the articles blaming the Germans. Oh, wait a minute. No, it wasn't the Germans. It was the Japanese. Man, you guys can work magic with the press. The Japanese supposedly did it, but we all know that they were also forced into it, and it was another staged event. That's pretty amazing. You couldn't get the American people, even as brain dead as they are, to go to war with their cousins in Germany, so you orchestrated an attack by the Japanese so you bastards in Washington could declare war in Japan, but the very first nation that you put all the war material to go get was Germany. Because you didn't rape, rob, and murder enough Germans in World War I, so you wanted to finish the job. You didn't count on a fellow named Adolf Hitler and the National Socialists in restoring honor and dignity and a work ethic and a military. You didn't count on that, so you had to have another war. And if you think what I'm saying is crazy, you need to read the autobiography of General Douglas MacArthur. Because that's where I just got that. It was his complaint to the brass when he was general and over in the Pacific, complaining to the brass in Washington, why, if we're at war with Japan, am I not getting any of the supplies and the men that I have requested? Because the Jews wanted to destroy Germany. And MacArthur didn't get what he wanted until the Germans had been smashed. Go read his book. You're going to tell me that General Douglas MacArthur doesn't know what he's talking about? Or General George S. Patton, when he said at the end of World War II, in a letter to his wife, "We fought the wrong enemy." I interviewed a Canadian who fought in the Royal Canadian Air Force during World War II, Ian MacDonald. I don't know if he's still living or not. He used to live in Ontario. He told us right here on this radio broadcast. He was stationed in Germany at the end of the war. He had been on the bomber crews that went over there and blitzkrieged the whole cities of people, civilians, men, women, and children, and people who were disabled, and burned them alive at the behest of our Jews. And he said on this program the exact same thing. I was stationed over there, and the more months that I spent in Germany, I realized we fought the wrong enemy. The Germans weren't our enemy. The Bolshevik communist Jews of Russia were the enemy of all Europe. Germany was trying to save Europe, and we stepped in to stop them. I lost a cousin in the Battle of the Bulge. He's buried over there in France. And I'm sad to say that I don't consider what my countrymen did in France and did to the German people to be honorable. I like to think my cousin wasn't aware, like so many soldiers in the field, they're not really aware of what's going on at the top. And so I give my cousin a pass until I find out differently. But I'm not proud of America. I'm not proud of the American Army and what we did to the German people. All because of liars, deceivers, a bought-off press, and nobody being held accountable for their lies. And the same tune is being played. We went over and murdered Muammar Gaddafi and destroyed Libya. We murdered Saddam Hussein, destroying Iraq, people by the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of innocent people, all on faulty, false information, and yet nobody has been put on trial for this, including that piece of dirt president we had at that time. Same thing goes with the false flags, the biggest, of course, being 9/11. Where's the people responsible? How about that damn Lon Hurucci who murdered Vicky Weaver holding her baby standing on the front porch of their cabin? How much of a threat was she to the damn Lon Hurucci hiding out in the woods somewhere, far away? But that brave man, yeah, you're a brave man out of eyesight and earshot of a woman holding a baby, and you put a bullet in her head. I think you are despicable, buddy. And I can't wait till you face real men one day here soon. And I want you to explain to us what drove you to put a bullet in an innocent woman's head while she's holding her baby. You tell me what threat to we, the people of this country, that woman was standing on the porch of her cabin. You tell me what threat Randy Weaver's family was that you were going to take a helicopter with a bladder full of fuel and dump it on the cabin with the children and Randy and Kevin Harris inside, still alive, and you were going to burn the cabin to the ground the same way you burned the people in Waco, Texas. And you tell me, bastard, how that was a threat to we, the people of this country, that you needed to go in there and do this. Where the hell are the people responsible? That's what I want to know. I'm tired of hearing words. I'm tired of hearing these bastards tell me, oh, make me president, I'm going to fix it. You fix it. I want to know where the American people are. That's what I want to know. Where are the people who are the descendants of the people who founded this country? That's what I want to know. Have you all been bought and paid for? Is there no one left? You know, that's what the Jews hope for. They know that Christ said he's coming back. They are desperately trying to make it so there's nobody here for him to come back to. You wonder why they're desperate to get the white race to go into race mixing and all the other abominations that Christ told us to stay away from? It's because if there's none of us worthy, then why would Messiah come back? It's the same exact sick and demented logic they used when they murdered all the boys in Bethlehem. Oh, that's right. You people don't ever read that book called the Bible. Go blow the dust off of it once in a while and read it. You might find it kind of interesting. These bastards have done the same thing over and over and over. And we still just don't get it. You seem to think somehow they're going to change. The scripture says itself, a leopard can't change its spots. A Jew can't change its demeanor. They murdered the boys in Bethlehem thinking they had killed the Christ. But Yahweh saw to it that that didn't happen, huh? But these same lying Cretans think that they can take the white race and get us to perform every abominable act there is so that our Christ doesn't have to come back a second time. Because they know upon his appearing, they're dead. They got away with it the first time. They're not going to get away with it this time. So you Jewish comedians and comedians, you can make fun all you want. And you can talk about murdering our Christ a second time. But I got news for you. He doesn't carry a sword for nothing. Peter had a sword in the garden, and he pulled it out. He was ready to use it. And he wasn't aiming for that bastard's ear. Please. How many people have told me, yeah, well, he wasn't going to hurt the guy. Have you ever swung a sword? Have any of you automatons, you morons, have you ever swung a broadsword before? Well, you set up an object on a post somewhere the size of a man's ear, and you swing at it, and let me know how you get that to work. Let me know how good that is, how easy that is to swing that sword and try to nick a person's ear. Don't be stupid. He was going for the man's head, to separate his head from his body. So Peter, after 3.5 years of walking with Messiah, not only was he carrying a razor-sharp sword, but he was willing to use it. And Christ did not condemn him for that. He simply said, put it back in the scabbard, because you're interfering with what must be. That's all. He didn't say get rid of it. He didn't say shame on you, Peter, for trying to defend me. He just said put it back, Peter. This has to be. He's not going to say that the second time. In fact, we know it. Luke chapter 19, verse 27, he says quite the opposite, doesn't he? Bring those who would not that I rule over them before me and slay them. So if you of the Muslim Brotherhood think you're going to waltz in here and do to us what you've been doing to our brothers and sisters in Europe, I don't think they paid you enough, guys. You know, the Jew is perfectly good at that. He promises you all kinds of things. Like it'll be a cakewalk, and don't worry about those white people because we'll just arrest them. Or we'll get these other white guys who have sold their souls to Satan to go in with their military and the police, and we'll just disarm them. We'll put them in jail if they try to stop you. You think that's what's going to happen? Yeah, we've got traitors, but we also have guys that are well aware of who our traitors are. We're not giving them up. In fact, I got news for you. Guns and ammunition are being sold at record levels right now. We're getting ready. For you people in Washington that think you've already got this thing done, it's a done deal, we're done for, we're just going to roll over for you, Well, as I like to say, let me know how that works out for you. Because you've been listening to these communists too, haven't you? You know, Christ told us, what does it profit a man that he has the whole world as far as the material things, but he loses his soul? That never meant more to me than it does right now. Watching what my country, blessed above all nations, what we have become. We think having enough money to buy a suit we don't need, drive a car far too expensive, live in a house far too big, somehow makes us good people when we have sold our soul to Satan and Satan's kids? Is there anything on this earth that's worth that? I'm just asking. You've got my email address. If you can answer that for me, please do. I would like to know, because from where I sit, I don't see it. I don't see anything in this world, and yet I know the beauty of this world as Father created it. I know the beauty that could return to this earth if we would obey Father Yahweh. I know it. And even knowing that, even knowing the beautiful, wonderful things I've seen and the wonderful people I've come to know, even knowing all that, it isn't worth my soul. Only you people can give up your soul. Satan's kids were never given the authority to do it, even though they wish they could. They don't have it. That's why their motto is by deception. And it's not just the physical war that slogan's talking about, people. It's the war to control the world. It's the war against every race but their own. And I'm just talking and relating to you what has been written by other Jews. They believe they should rule this world. They believe they should sit at the top and you do all the toiling and dirty work for them. The same people who murdered the Christ and brag about it to this day. They should rule this world? They should have us grovel at their feet? I think not. I think what my Messiah told me is what's going to happen. In the book of Revelation, he said he will make those people, those imposters, come and bow and worship at our feet. The only thing is that your worshiping ain't going to get you nothing. Because there's other verses that says when it's time for the reset, when it's time for the great reckoning, show them no mercy. They may beg for mercy. They will not be shown any. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm a pretty easygoing guy. I really am. But I've met the men and women that you're going to have to try to convince to show you mercy. The people that have had their family or friends raped, robbed, or murdered, or imprisoned unlawfully by you pieces of garbage. I am really looking forward to the day when you go up to these people that I've met and ask them to forgive you or show you mercy. It isn't going to happen, but it's going to be fun to watch. You think that you can just turn around after your centuries of debauchery and mayhem to the human race? After all that, you think you can just turn around? You must be as brain dead as our preachers are. You know, the ones that you convinced to tell us that you're the chosen people, and somehow you get a pass for all of your bad behavior because you're chosen. Oh, really? Oh, I'll tell you, it looks dark out there, people. It really does. But But I keep thinking about that ringside seat when I watch these people be dragged in front of tribunals and told they have to give an accounting for what they did. Because, you know, folks, even though the brain-dead white people have forgotten what it means to hold people responsible for their actions today, I got news for you. Yahweh hasn't. And we, his sons and daughters that love him from our very hearts, will be part of this process. And I got news for you. We haven't forgot what it means. It's called righteous indignation. And it's burning within the souls of his children. We've had it. You know, I saw one rich guy being introduced. He was a billionaire. And he's talking and using foul language while he's describing Trump and the fact that he's going to just change everything because he's a different kind of guy and blah, 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 blah. As if what some rich guy says makes a piddle's worth of difference. There was a reason why Christ said that it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of the needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. Because all of the rich have basically sold their souls. I don't care who they are. Unless they're going to show by demonstration of fruit to the contrary, I'm going to assume they're dirty and rotten. Because for the most part, it's going to be true. And by the way, the people that make fun of that allegory of a camel getting through the eye of a needle. The eye of the needle was a nickname given to the smaller, narrow gates around Jerusalem. It's a colloquialism of the day. So obviously, they weren't talking about a literal eye of a needle. They were talking about the smaller side gates at the city, which were much narrower than the main gates. So it makes perfect sense. A camel can get through the smaller gates, but it's more difficult. Everything in Scripture, when it's properly interpreted, makes perfect sense. I guess tonight is going to be classified as kind of one of my rant nights, so I apologize for that. But I'm after listening to Kent Hovind on Laura's program talk about what they did to him, which reminded me what I've witnessed done to other people, and then Laura talking about what had happened to her, it just got my blood boiling. And again, we have to say, how much more do we have to take before the white man wakes the hell up? Where are the people that still believe in honor and integrity? Yahweh doesn't expect you to go out like David and stand up to Goliath by yourself. It's a wonderful thing to see when people do that, but he does expect you to do what is possible to do, because each and every one of us has something we can do to make this a better world. You know, years ago when I first started this radio show, my family told me that I shouldn't do it. They said that there's bad people out there, Daniel, and they're going to be upset with the things that you're saying. I said, well, yeah, that's possible. I certainly realize I'm a mortal individual. That could happen. I said, but the problem is that doesn't justify being quiet. And then I would tell them about the scripture, where it says, he who has been given much, much is expected. And I would tell my family, I'd say, Father has given me an awful lot. He's put up with my shenanigans. He's put up with my stumbling, my stupidity at times, my failures. And he's never once left my side. He's never once thrown me under the bus like these Zionist Khazars do. As it says in Scripture, he's always stuck closer than a friend. And I would read those scriptures that, like Psalm 91 and others, where it says that if we will do his work with all our hearts and all our minds and all of our souls, with everything that we got in us, he's faithful to walk with us. And I believe that. With all my heart, I believe that. And I know that a day could come when Father wants to use me as a witness, or what we call a martyr, which comes from the Greek word for a witness. It's possible. But I don't think so. I think Yahweh has had plenty of martyrs, thanks to the Catholic Church and the despots in different governments. There's been plenty of innocent people who have given up their life. I believe it's time for the great reckoning. I believe it's the end of the age, when it's the wicked who need to be watching over their shoulder. I told my family, don't worry about me, because whatever happens to me on this earth, this isn't my final resting place. If this earthly body should ever go, I won't be here. I will be elsewhere. And it'll be sad because I'll miss everybody, and it'll also be sad because the fight will now be yours, and I'm not going to be in it. Because I've looked forward to the day when, like Peter in the garden, I could unsheathe that sword and go after the wicked. It's been a dream for a long time. I've had people at different times say, Dan, why don't you run for office? I go, why? Why would I want to be a part of this system? It's corrupt. It will never fix itself. It can't fix itself. It's been bought and paid for. It's corrupt. It's like the salt that has lost its savor in Scripture, and it's only worthy to be thrown under the foot of men. I want Yahweh's kingdom. I want a world of people who want truth and justice and integrity at all times. That's what I want. That's what I strive for every single day of my life. And I'm trying to be patient, but my prayers to the Father is, how much longer, Father Yahweh? How much longer do we have to stand by and watch this? This is your earth. You created it and you put us here. Please, Father Yahweh, put an end to this. If you need a righteous army to rise up and sing praises of you with our mouths but carry a double-edged sword, then let's go. Let's go. Let's get this thing done. I'm tired of no responsibility, no accountability, and watching what it does to the innocent people of this world. I saw a YouTube earlier today of Donald Trump giving a speech telling a bunch of Christians that he wants to get rid of the 501c3 status. And basically what that means is the churches that accept that 501c3 status with the IRS, it's saying that your donations are not taxable. What the dummies in this country didn't realize in the church world years ago, when the IRS made you that offer, you should have told them to pack their bags and get the hell out of your church, because your donations were tax exempt to begin with. all the 501c3 status did to you is make you accountable to the king. What the king giveth, the king can taketh. And because of your love of money, you kept your mouth shut. I know you did. Everyone is going to be held accountable, whether they know it or not. First to our Heavenly Father, and then to we the people. Governments are instituted among men for that purpose and that purpose alone. If government doesn't serve that purpose, it is not to be kept. It is to be disbanded. Because the men and women, the flesh and blood that fill the positions of government have overstepped their bounds. They have forgotten their duty. They have forgotten what they're responsible for. They have become outlaws at that point. They certainly don't deserve our obedience or our protection. You know, that's the interesting thing. You men and women in uniform, and you people in political office, and you people down at the Federal Reserve, and you're all just having a good old time walking all over us. But there's a day coming, you're going to wish you had some protection. As Yahweh said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be at the end of this age. For a short period of time yet, repentance will be acknowledged. It doesn't mean you won't be punished at all, depending on your crimes, but at least it'll be acknowledged and you will be protected from your traitorous masters. And again, all you got to do is look at what the Bolsheviks did to the white Russians who helped them take over. The Tsar and Tsarina and the family abdicated the throne at the behest of the Bolsheviks. He stepped down, went to their palace. And how did the Tsar Nicholas get rewarded for doing what the Jews asked him to do? The Jews went up there and literally butchered his entire family and then wrote satanic symbols and sayings all over the palace walls with the blood of his children and his wife and eventually his own body. That's the reward you get for going along with the Jew. This is an election year and you've got people running around making promises like there's no tomorrow. But I got to tell you something. Any cretin out there that's for open borders, that's a terror that just stuck up their hand and identified themselves as a traitor. Any of these terrors that stick up their haughty heads in their hands going, we support, it's a lie. Or as Joe says, Israel. That's tantamount to treason of these United States as well. Any of these terrors that stick up their hands going, yes, we support diversity, is treason against the white race. The reset is going to come, but it's not going to be just a reset in the geopolitical arena. It's going to be a racial reset as well. The scripture says in that day that the people will be told to go back to where Yahweh put them at the beginning. The continents were set up based on the physiology of the races that lived there. There's all kinds of scientific studies and books written about that fact. Most people are too ignorant to even read a book anymore. I thank God that I enjoy reading and have always enjoyed reading. But there'll be a reset along those lines as well. When Kent and Laura were talking earlier today on Eurofolk Radio, they happened to mention about Yahweh's law and getting rid of the prison system, which of course that should happen. It must happen. Mr. Hoven has written a book called The Kennel, which exposes the fraud of the prison industry system and what the criminal justice system is actually doing with the prison system to make money. It's all about the money. But they mentioned the fact that the Bible prescribes certain punishments for certain crimes. And a lot of these punishments had to do with providing closure to the victim or the victim's family. Now, I know you people with soft heads where your brains are like pretty much mush because of either your drugs or too much television or whatever the hell it is you people do, you're not going to understand this. But those folks that have a brain that still functions, hear me out. The Bible says that we have to punish certain behavior a certain way to give release to those that have been victimized. You see, there is no justification for the state receiving retribution from the criminal. That's just totally ludicrous. So when a man murders a member of your family, you're to take that piece of crap out and stone him to death. Or put a noose around his neck and hang them. But the family and the community get to take part in that, particularly if it's stoning. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's a heinous way to execute a criminal. Of course, most people today are so stupid, they don't even think we should execute the criminal. But that's not what Yahweh says. You're to take that piece of dirt that committed that crime out there. Now, do you think the victim willingly died? Sort of like laid down and says, put that knife into my chest 16 times? Or take that pistol and shoot 3 or 4 bullet holes in me? Or rape me by you mass rapists and gang rapists? Rape me till I die? You think they did that voluntarily? I think that's pretty heinous. You soft-headed pieces of dirt out there, you've got all this compassion for the criminal. I've got none. I guess I'm just weird that way. I've got no compassion for the criminal. None. My heart bleeds for the victim. And I want to see the criminal suffer and die. Just call me old-fashioned, I guess. But if you harm a member of my family, nobody's going to have to tell me more than once to go pick up a stone and throw it at your ass. And I'll keep picking them up until you're long gone. And every other member of my family will do exactly the same thing. You can count on it. Don't you be mistaken with all of these liberals and these retards that watch all the television and all the mind control that goes on out here. Don't you think for 1 minute that that's all of us. There's still a lot of us left that believe in old-fashioned responsibility and accountability. And that means using Yahweh's law to punish criminals. Now, a lot of people don't understand it, but when you go out there in that field and you pick up those rocks and you stone that bastard, that is a release for the grieving family who lost the loved one to that rapist or that murderer. There's closure, and the community has closure. A violent act, a real felony, instead of what these, I can't use any other term but assholes, I'm sorry, in government today, what they call a felony is ludicrous. A real felony is heinous crimes, violent crimes against innocent people. Not going up and saying to a cop that he should go back to school and learn the law. Now they're calling that a felony because you hurt the poor policeman's feelings. Oh, you poor policeman. I mean, really, you've got it so bad. Why don't you go get a real job? That's what I got to say. If it offends you to the point where you got to charge me with a felony because I speak my mind to you, you need to go get a different job. You really do. Same thing with you automatons and cretins in Washington and other halls of government. Go get another job. Get a real job. Oh, that's right. You can't do that, can you? You want us to work for you. So you sit around and do nothing. But I thought it was a very good deal, very good topic for Kent and Laura when they were talking about it, because there is a lot of reason. And maybe one day I'll do a whole program on the different punishments and the reason the Bible uses those punishments. And in the Bible, there is no deal making. You commit the crime, you're found guilty, you will be punished. There is no deals. The only exception is if the family that you abused or murdered a member of, if they wish to show you mercy, they are the only people on the planet that have the right to show mercy and spare your life. They're the only ones. Nobody in the government, nobody in the courthouse, no damnable lawyer, no deals. Also want to let everybody know, Sunday morning on Bloodlines, which starts 8:30 Eastern Time on Eurofolk Radio, I will be substituting for Pastor Eli. So Andrew Carrington Hitchcock and I will have a good time chatting with you all on Bloodlines this weekend on Sunday morning. Sunday morning. This coming Sunday as well, on my program, which comes on at 10 a.m., I will be interviewing author and poet Mike Walsh from Spain. He's an Irishman, but he lives in Spain. And it's going to be quite an interview. I really think I've read it, his books, Triumph of Reason, Europe Arise, and the program of the National Socialist Workers' Party in Germany in the 1920s, what that program was all about, and you will be utterly amazed when the truth is told about what happened in Germany. Mike Walsh is a prolific writer, and some of his poetry is sobering, that's for sure. But that also should be an excellent interview. Let us close. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that you and you alone deserve. We ask for your forgiveness if we've stepped out of bounds in any way, Father, and allowed the arm of flesh to take over. If we've done that, then we ask for forgiveness for that. We've seen a lot, Father Yahweh, and it's burning away at all of us. We're sick and we're tired of the criminality that is overlooked and left unpunished. Father Yahweh, this is your world. You made it. You put us here. We beg of you, Father Yahweh, make your children put on flesh. Raise up that Ezekiel 37 army of men who don't make deals, who don't compromise, who do not negotiate with the wicked, that just want to get the job done. Rise that army, Father. And we pray for your coming, the second coming, that you would lead us here directly. No arguments then, no doubts, because you're in charge. In the meantime, raise up the leaders that you have preselected, Father Yahweh. Give them strength and courage, good discernment, and put a hedge of protection around each and every one of them, and all of the watchmen who are continuing to stand upon the wall and scream out the warning for our people. Again, we thank you for Eurofolk Radio and this opportunity to speak to this world and try to raise their consciousness to what is happening and to bring truth in a world full of lies and deception. We ask and pray in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.